This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Hello and welcome to the second leg of our Punchestown preview with Bar One Racing. It is On The Wire with Johnny Ward, Fran Berry, Brendan Duke and John McDonald. We'll look ahead to the Friday and the Saturday, and as a special treat for you all, we'll have Joseph O'Brien talking not only about his Punchestown runners in the final 2 days, but also his Guineas runners. And he's a big runner in both races, as you will obviously know. And we'll get our selections from the lads as well as that. And do remember to gamble responsibly throughout Punchestown. I think it's probably been a tricky festival for many punters. I have to say, I'm losing. Lads, how are you getting on punting-wise so far?
Losing a few quid, Johnny. Haven't had a whole heap of bets, luckily enough, but losing a few quid. But we're only 40% of the way through it.
Johnny Mac?
I've had a couple of bets. I actually backed Geary in the Martinstown final yesterday, Johnny. But from a business perspective, the results have been all right for bookmakers. The novice chase on Tuesday was a screamer. We got the book there getting Envoy and Monkfish beat.
Yeah, Geary, you gave a very strong mention to. I would have fancied that horse out of the way over 2 miles. I just wasn't sure about it getting home and ended up making a balls of it, which has been the story of my week. Fran Berry, you've been keeping quiet on the old punting front?
Very, Johnny. Yeah, I had a little bit of luck yesterday. Bumped into Peter Fahey before the 4:15, and he said, "What have you got running?" He said, "I've tuned the Auction Hurl Series final, and surprise package is the wrong price." So I had a few bob between him and he obliged. So that'll do me on till the Guineas on Saturday now.
And you're telling us this 24 hours after the race because?
I literally had 3 minutes before the off to get on.
Yeah. It is the beauty of going racing. If those of us lucky enough to go racing, you can bump into the personalities and ask them and get a bit of inside information. We're not sure we're going to give you inside information on the 2 days left, but we've brilliant, brilliant races. And before we get to the races on the Friday, just want to plug that Racing TV is the only channel to watch every race from Punchestown and Newmarket. Head to Racing TV. .com/join and if you want to join Racing TV. And before all of that, let's listen back to the two winners from the Friday of 2019 when the Raiders were out in force.
Into the straight to the final flight, Petty Mouchoir. Is he a sitting duck with on the outside Bouverdier? Mellon is next with Wicklow Brave. Bouverdier comes to pick it up as they race down to the final flight in the bet deck, Punchestown champion hurdle, and it's Bouverdier and Davy Russell over, and they're asserting from Petty Mouchoir. Wicklow Brave Super Sunday is coming in the closing stages, but Bouverdier is back winning champion hurdles for Nicky Henderson and JP McManus. Super Sunday with a late flourish to take the second, and then Wicklow Brave, Petty Mouchoir, Apples Jade, Somerville Boy, and Mellon was last of the seven. Reserve Tank and Robbie Parr, chased by Sam's Profile on the outside, who's delivering a run as they come down to the final flight. It's Reserve Tank and Sam's Profile on the outside. Then Eglantine de Soy, City Island is well beaten over the last. It's Reserve Tank, the leader from Sam's Profile. In third place is Eglantine de Soy. Inside the final 100 yards, Reserve Tank and Robbie Parr from Sam's Profile, who's closing with every stride. Reserve Tank has that left to win. Second is Sam's Profile. In third place is Eglantine de Soy. And then Tornado Flower, Dommage Portois, and City Island.
Follow Bar One Racing on social media throughout all of next week for exclusive video content from our official Punchestown Racing Festival ambassador, Irish Gold Cup and Cheltenham Festival winning jockey, Danny Mullins. Catch his thoughts on the action throughout all of next week on the Bar One Racing Twitter, Facebook and Instagram channels. Bar One Racing, your number one bookmaker.
Bar One Racing, proud sponsors of On The Wire.
Yeah, that was 2019, which is, in fairness, is a brilliant race day that day. And it's fascinating for me, Fran Berry, that we have Epatant and Goshen in this champion hurdle, because I think this is an absolute belter of a race. There's so many layers to it. You have Honeysuckle, who continues to be unbeaten. She's never actually run in Punchestown. But you've Goshen, who's going right-handed, and like is a mad price really relative to what he was at Cheltenham when he was only an 11-2 shot. And you've Abacadabras, who's in that rare position of having run at the three festivals and put his head in front last time, has a very good point of sound record. And that's not to mention the other horses in the race as well. This is going to be an absolute cracker.
Really is cracking race, right, Johnny? And so many layers to this, and Honeysuckle, what can we say about her at this stage? And she gets that £7 again off all the geldings. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see her on better ground tomorrow at Punchestown. Epitant could be argued she should have been second in the Champion of Hurl, but she was no match for Honeysuckle on the day. Great to see her over here. Abracadabras, did he improve for a step up and trip, or did he just run fine beating Buzz the last in entry? And Goshen, I don't know if his form is good enough either way. Going right-handed, it's great to see him over here for Gary Moore and Jamie Moore. And that win at Wincanton prior to the Champion Hurl was quite taking. Just don't like to see a horse hang as badly as they do. I'm not sure they can ever really go forward, even going this direction on Friday. Jason Middleton deserves a mention too.
Yeah, Juki, what do you think of the race? Obviously, you know, if you're back in Honeysuckle, you'll probably have to stay 4-6, 4-7, give or take.
Yeah, well, sure, it's a wonder I'm not gone broke at this stage opposing a Honeysuckle. Opposed her in Leopard's Tail. Oh, she's vulnerable at 2 miles. Opposed her in Cheltenham. Oh, she's vulnerable on a tight track. And she just keeps winning, making a fool of me. I'm not necessarily going to oppose her here. I did think Abacadabras was the wrong price at 10-1, though, relative to Epitant. And those around him, you mentioned his good record at this track. He was brilliant to get an entry. He was probably still in front a bit too soon, but I my sympathies are with Jack. I mean, he's a scandalous horse to travel. He'll travel away here. Jason the Middleton will make a good pace. And there's the dead eight, if you like, the each way, but I'm not going to take her on. But I'm going to have a few quid in him without the fav.
I wouldn't be sympathising, but I'd much prefer, and I never rode a horse, but I'd much prefer to ride something like Abracadabras than a lazy horse that doesn't travel at all. But maybe that... What do you think, Fran? Would you have sympathy for Jack Kennedy in the predicament of riding perhaps the fastest horse in the race?
I know he's the horse you want to be riding. They're the ones you enjoy. It's a challenge in getting it right. Obviously, with that home turn into Punchestown, only one hurl, and that second last comes up quick before the bend, it can get quite tricky and tactical, as you've seen the Morgiana early in the season there. If you give me a choice of one to go out and ride and enjoy, that they're the ones you go out and enjoy, because the only thing you can get wrong is go too soon on them.
Go ahead, Juki.
Well, they're absolutely fearless, these jockeys, aren't they? Because he's the only one you can get wrong, but you can get him so badly wrong that punters will be bombarding your social media for weeks afterwards. But you can't worry about these things as a jockey, I suppose. They're a breed apart. And I mean, it wasn't a bad ride by Jack in Aintree. He held on to him for a long time, and the horse did ultimately still win, snug enough. So, but I wouldn't like to see him in front until after the last, if possible.
Yeah, it was interesting reading the Kevin Sexton article in the Racing Post just about the morons online who do, slate jockeys. And when Kevin Sexton was talking about it, he was actually riding Belfast Banter in a maiden hurdle at basically a summer meeting. And, you know, it just shows the abuse you get if you got it wrong in a race like this. But at the same time, I'd have full faith in Abacadabras running well here at the price, John, 9 or 10-1, give or take. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Aspire Tower, Johnny. I thought he ran a very, very good race in the Champion Hurdle, finishing fourth. Good run, and the Madison at Leopardstown as well over Christmas. And don't forget, he beat Abracadabras, albeit when getting weight from him in the WKD Hurdle at Down Royals Festival towards the start of November. He's a horse I've always liked, Aspire Tower, since he won on Stephen's Day at Leopardstown as a four-year-old. And I think with the three places, I think it'll be hard to keep out of the first three.
Let's move on to the Alanna Holmes Champion Novice Hurdle. And this, I don't know if we're going to spend an awful long time to stay with you, John. We've obviously a hot favourite in Bob Olinger, who was pretty imperious, obviously beating Guyer Dumainil at Cheltenham. It goes without saying he's hard to oppose here.
Yeah, 2-5, Johnny, they've gone. 2-5, Bob Olinger, 7-2, Guyer Dumainil. and it's 11-1 back. I don't know, did any of you see the jockey cam footage from the race at Cheltenham? I think Harry Cobden had it on a Braveman's game, and the ease at which Bob Olinger ranged up on his outside turning in. He was awesome at Cheltenham. I think he's impossible to oppose.
Juki?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with anything that Johnny Mack said, and it's hard to add much to it. I mean, Guy Ardemini has 7.5 lengths to find. That's an awful lot of ground to make up, and I can't see him doing it.
Fran?
Look, race to watch and enjoy, and hope we see the Bob Olinger we've seen at Cheltenham, and prior to that, fascinating to see which route they're going to go next season. But over hurdles or will he go chasing, and it'll be the betting without market that you'll be looking at, and it'd be hard one to call who's going to chase him and try and make a race for it, and who's going to pick up the pieces for the places, I'd say. Yeah,
just the rest of the card as well, lads, if I could get a selection or two off you. I like Kescon Ricks in the 7.05. Now Kescon Ricks obviously ran behind Bob Olinger. He was beaten 21 lengths at Cheltenham, but I think that's a bit harsh on the way he performed. He's still a bit novice-y in his races, obviously. That was him stepping up to Cheltenham Company, having run behind Appreciated at Leopardstown. That was over 2 miles. But we'll hear from Joseph O'Brien. Joseph will opine in our interview with him that he will like the trip. And obviously, this is a major step down in class. But what do you like, Juki, the rest of the card?
Not a whole pile again, Johnny. It's been the theme of the whole week. I know that. But there's a 16-runner novice hurdle, the 7.05. Very competitive race. But there's a mare in it, Dreams Are Made of This. So she's a 4-year-old mare, so she gets all the allowances. Now, interestingly, Mark Walsh has chosen to ride a different horse in the race. And he could well be right. But it will make a price for this, Dreams Are Made of This. Hard to know what to make of the form when she won on debut in Cork. But you could certainly make a case that it was a run nudging 120 on debut. She definitely can jump better. She was a bit novice-y, but again, she was entitled to be on her debut. I think she'll jump better here. She's a very strong traveller. Well, certainly in that company, she travelled very well. I think she'll be able to transfer that cruising speed to this race. And she's got to be about a 10 or 12 to 1 shot. I'll have something small on her.
Fran?
Third race of the day, Johnny, the 4.50. Glencarrig Lady, Mayor's Handicap Chase. Dad won a Glencarrig Lady in the Gold Cup. Obviously, I've seen paintings of her on her wall since I was a kid. And he might just win it for the boss man, Mr. McManus, with Demi Plea. That run at Ferias was a huge performance behind Ellie May. Maybe Ellie May was a little bit flat post-Cheltenham. But if you tie in the Colreevy run form, Ellie May form, Demi Play, the better the ground, the better her chance. And it looked briefly between the last two that she might actually go and join Ellie May before she found a bit more. But off a £3 higher mark today on the back of that run, she makes a lot of appeal.
Yeah, Juki, notable he still calls him Mr. McManus. Once a jockey, always a jockey and all that.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and I didn't realise that Frank Berry had ridden Glencarrig Lady, so that's good information to have.
Yeah, I remember having a point with Fran.
No mares allowance back then in the Gold Cup either.
Oh, well, they were the good old days. We should go back to that.
Yeah, and speaking of going back to that, the good old days, I remember having a pint of Fran Berry in Dublin, and the barman told him, who's actually a brother, Pat Keogh, that Fran's winner in Cheltenham got him out for the festival that year. And that, what year was that, Fran?
1999, and it was Kirwani in the Coral Cup, and I was actually just beat by Ansem in the Stairs Hurdle 6 weeks later here at Punchestown. Yes, yeah, good times.
Mm-hmm. And the rest, as they say, is history. Johnny Mack, Anthony Nelson on the Friday.
I have two. I'm going to oppose Fran there. Abby Magic ran in that Ellie May race over Easter. That was her first run for 5 months. She'll bounce off the ground as well tomorrow. I think she has a big chance. And watch out for Stone Mad in the bumper. Sean Mulryan loves having winners at Punchestown. Cost $185,000 when he went through the ring as a store, and he's really well bred. Derek O'Connor rides him in the bumper tomorrow. I think he might be laid out for Friday.
Yeah, and there was further British glory on the Saturday among the Grade 1 action in 2019.
And it's Benny Dejar, taking over from her nearest rival in the market in the race itself. Petit de Jour is over and lengthening away from Stormy Iron and then Good Time Tara, and racing up towards the finish. Petit de Jour swiftly bounced back from Cheltenham, and it's another Annie Power Mayor's champion for Willie Mullins and the Richies, as Petit de Jour and Paul Townend have won by over 8 lengths. Stormy Ireland second, third is Good Time Tara, and with discretion last of four to complete. Down towards the final flight, Fakir Duderi, the white cap. From on the outside, Fusil Raffles up the rail is French Maid, and back in fourth place is Way Back Home. Fusil Raffles on the near side gets to Fakir Duderi as they jump the final flight. French Maid is in third, and it's Fusil Raffles getting the better of Fakir Duderi as they run up to the finish in the AS Champion four-year-old hurdle. It's been two brilliant last days for Nicky Henderson. Fusil Raffles and Darren Jacobs score from Fakir Duderi. French Maid, Way Back Home, a long way clear from Cocoa Beach.
Bar One Racing will be price boosting the live show favourite in each and every race at this year's Punchestown Racing Festival. And on top of all of that, if you open a Bar One Racing online or telebetting account today, you can receive up to a €30 free bet when you stake €10 or more on your first online bet. So why not enjoy this year's Punchestown Racing Festival with your number one bookmaker, Bar One Racing.
Bar One Racing, proud sponsors of On The Wire.
Yeah, I suppose the first thing to say here, John, just getting to a bit of the undercard, the bar1racing.com handicap hurdle at 5.05 is an absolute cracker before we get to the grade ones.
Yeah, we're after getting a super field. As we expected, Johnny, the field sizes are massive this week. Willie Mullins has declared 9. He's got 2 reserves. We've got the Shunter, who's rated £9 lower over hurdles now. We've got Cape Gentleman, the Dovecote winner, who would have had possible graded engagements during the week. And we've got Chatham Street Lad as well, who's £15 lower over hurdles. So there's some horses who've been really good through the season clashing in this race.
Let's start with the first of the grade ones, which is the Mayor's Champion Hurdle. Definitely not mad on these Mayor's grade ones. I mean, you look at the ratings here, 153 down to 124 or whatever it is. Juki, what wins it?
I mean, it is a fascinating race. The return of Burning Victory. I wasn't sure we were going to see her again this season. Lorena pitching up CWJ Farrell is trying to work his magic here. And of course, Sky Ace has been one of the stories of the season. I was a little bit disappointed in Concertista at Cheltenham. I mean, she travelled great. I thought she's going to pick these up and carry them. And she was ultimately beaten. But it's probably... Black Tears is an improving mare and a hardy mare. It's probably still the form that sets the standard here. And if she repeats that run, it'll probably just about be good enough against the horses with questions to answer.
You mentioned Cormac Farrell there. I'll bring you in here, John, because Cormac Farrell was actually interviewed in the Racing Post because he trained a couple of horses, 100%, and Crequerel at Worcester the other day that were part of... an alleged kind of four-timer gamble. Did Bar One take any action on that?
There was a few quid for them, Johnny. Nothing substantial, though. And I see Douglas Taylor, actually, who was supposedly behind this gamble, and he was quite public about it. I think he was communicating with one of the Racing TV presenters on the day. But, yeah, he owns this Lorena, and she'll be a massive prize. By the way, I see Patrick Mullins rides Concertista in this race now.
Yeah, it's interesting jockey bookings, and in fairness, it is a fascinating race, Ryan.
Very, very good race. What about Sky Ace? That's some story, and talking about pre-race comments, you never get anything as ballsy from the Shark. Pre-race saying she was a certainty when she bet Galois at Fairy House. Great to see, and there's no reason why she can't be involved. Concertista, I think, didn't jump fluently in Cheltenham. That cost her the win. She just missed a couple of hurdles, particularly the last, and got mugged by Black Tears. Johnny, for me, it's a race to watch. I think there's a few there you could make cases for, but definitely a race to watch. Sky Ace, romantically, if you like, or the £600 purchase, Sky Ace, be great to see her win again.
Yeah, that's been a after being so bullish. You could get odds against about that mare finishing in the first four when he said she was a certainty to win the race. And so you can either, that's the fun of a trainer being bullish. And the horse of sharks that I tipped up earlier in the week, who essentially disappointed Hallowed Star. He's a big time for him. I definitely wouldn't be giving up at all on him. Maybe he'll pitch up in Galway at what will be a consequently nice mark, because the inexperience cost him a little bit the last day. The four-year-old champion hurdle, sponsored by Ballymore. That's the final grade one to bring down the curtain on what I hope will be the last Punchestown ever again that doesn't have people at it. And this is Quixilios versus Anna here, and Hot and Killer, as well as Saint Sam and Jeff Killer, who obviously won last time. Fran, let's start with you on this one. Quixilios, I was mad keen to oppose him at Cheltenham. It was a horrible race for me. I was all over Alan King's horse, who didn't get into it at all. And he's just a very progressive horse.
He is a very progressive horse. He keeps finding plenty for pressure. Zanahir never travelled in Cheltenham. If you back Zanahir up by the stands with a circuit to go, you're in trouble. He wasn't a horse that we've seen at Christmas at Fairy House. Now, maybe he was early and forward and the other horses have improved by him, but for me, I don't think he was at his best, and I'd be prepared to forgive him Cheltenham to an extent. Quixilios just keeps getting the job done, and he is the one to beat. Not ruling out Haw on Kalur. I think obviously first run in that Triumph Hurdle, that was some run, and given the former Willie Munns is coming into the week, he's entitled to improve any amount, having only won in October in France.
Yeah, this looks a deep race, John. You could have angles for four or five of them, really.
Yeah, you're right, Johnny. We got a result in the Triumph at Cheltenham. Quixilios giving it to us. I think everyone was surprised with the result. Even the people in Colintra that were harping on all season that Zanahir, including Jack Kennedy, was head and shoulders above Quixilios. And what transcribed at Cheltenham was much, much different.
What are you liking at Juki?
I'm inclined to give Zanahir another chance. It was interesting that Fran thought he never travelled. That's possible. He didn't jump great and there was no pace on. And maybe he just wasn't himself. But he never looked happy in the race to me. And I thought it was down to it being such a dawdle. Now, the problem is that there's the potential for a dawdle again tomorrow. You'd imagine Jack has had a look at this and he's going to go and be positive on the horse, because he has a lot of stamina. This is a speed favouring track. There's a soft lead on here. I think Zanahir jumps out in front, jumps better than he did at Cheltenham, makes it a good test, and sees them all off.
While you're there, Juki, anything on the undercard?
Oh, just one. Again, I mean, just a complete struggle of a meeting, Johnny. But this Sam Brown runs in the half four. Now, tipping an English horse to win a handicap, at least it's a handicap chase. It might be a fool's errand, but I love this Sam Brown. I actually had a few quid in him for the Ladbroke Trophy earlier this year, and he was a late defector, so I did my dough anti-post there. But he hasn't run since Carlisle in November, which was supposed to be his prep for that Ladbroke Trophy, a really good effort behind Imperial Aura. And the reason he hasn't run is because of ground. They want soft ground for him. And Honeyball had a runner earlier in the week. Like, in fairness, they seem to have absolutely emptied the reservoir on Punchestown this week to make sure that the ground is on the easy side. So Honeyball has had a look. He thinks the ground is soft enough for Sam Brown. I think he's a well-handicapped horse, and I'll have a few quid in him.
Anton, on the undercard for you, Franbury?
Yes, one horse in the 505, that bar one race in handicap hurl. Cracking race. Listen, you can make a case for a lot of horses in it, but Cape Gentleman is a standout. Obviously, last season winning at Kempton late February, Cesaro, winner over 2 miles, he's going to have to be really enjoy stepping back up to 2.5 year. The track he won his maiden hurl on, and mark of 140, he would be of definite interest.
Johnny Mack?
No, nothing really, Johnny. The field sizes are massive. Those handicaps are fiercely competitive, and I'll enjoy them.
Yeah, I'll just keep a small eye out on Sonia so far in the 540. She's going to be a massive price. She's a course and distance winner. She finds plenty for pressure and will love the ground, but she did disappoint last time. Just one thing I'll mention, lads, and I don't want to go on about this, but I do think owners have been kind of shat on here, in the sense of no anyone from within the sport imploring the government to let people go back racing. Owners have had to pay bills. They've had to take reduced prize money. They can't watch their horse run. And you have a situation at Punchestown where you have this vast, vast race course with nobody there. Now, surely the time is nigh to at least look at owners and say, these are the guys who are basically guys and women who are putting the money into the sport. And they are getting very, very little out of the sport for a year now. And we're just expected that they should just kind of suck it up. And I don't know, I'll start with you, Fran. I don't think they've been represented at all here. And I don't think we've heard enough from within racing in terms of imploring for people to be back racing, because this has gone on way too long for my mind.
Look, it's not ideal, Johnny, but you got to remember we're initially lucky to be back racing last June. We've had to adhere to a lot of protocols to continue on, and it's far from ideal. But the light is at the end of the tunnel, and I do think race course, when owners do come back, have to make a really big effort, and you know, not to have anybody there this week. It's a bit surreal now to be in Punchestown through the week. Lucky to be there, I hope to get back soon.
Yeah, in fairness, Juki, I think the race course have done a brilliant job with how they've carried themselves since June of last year. But I mean, enough is enough at this stage.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say, Johnny? Enough was enough last April for me. This is the greatest overreaction in history. But the Irish Racing Authorities are sucking at the tit of government, and they're not going to do anything to upset them by rocking the boat. So that's, unfortunately, we're in the world of real politics here. And I couldn't agree more with you, but I'm just screaming into the void for the last 14 months. And I have a sore throat at this stage. I have nothing more to say.
I think Fran makes good points as well. A lot of the race courses have actually done okay throughout this. They haven't obviously had to pay for the cost of staging an all-out race meeting. And one thing, John, they need to look after punters, and they need to look after owners when they come back, you know. And as well as that, from a booking perspective, I presume you're hoping Bar One shops will be open to the public as soon as.
They will, Johnny. I see there's a roadmap. There's a roadmap actually, I think, going to be published in the next day or two. It looks like we could be back in action retail-wise from mid-May. 17th of May was my reading this morning, was when we'll be back. And I think most people at this stage just need normality, don't they?
We do. Let's hear from Joseph O'Brien now, ahead of his runners over the 2 days, final 2 days of Punchestown, and also his two runners in the Guineas. Just starting off at Punchestown, you have no less than three runners in the novice handicap chase tomorrow. Fee Dudare's Wave of the Sea and Duke Dallier all in with some sort of a chance, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the three of them have squeaks. Johnny, they're going there in good shape. Obviously, it's good prize money. And we're hoping they can all run well and acquit themselves well.
Phil Dudare is probably the class act, maybe, of the three of them.
Maybe so, yeah. But I think he has a bit to prove after obviously a fall in the last stage. He was running a bad race, but you know, you just hope that wouldn't have any effect on his confidence.
And you give the other two sort of chances as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And they definitely go there with good chances. Duke Daly was running a great race in Fairy House before. He actually just felt like he lost his action or something, but anyway, right. He was fine after the race, and we've trained him for here. We're looking forward to the race, Johnny, you know.
A fascinating runner, Scarlet and Dove, in the Mayor's Handicap Chase. It's interesting you've booked Jordan Gainford. Obviously, you've been impressed, like many of us have, with Jordan so far.
Yeah, well, he's obviously a very good rider. He's done very little wrong, and he's valuable claim, and she's obviously been, you know, competing at graded levels. So, you know, every pound off her back will be a help. You know,
is jumping is still a bit of an issue for her?
I suppose she has been, you know, obviously she has thrown in a couple of mistakes along the way, you know. But generally speaking, even when she has done that, it hasn't seemed to affect her too much or break her rhythm too much. So, listen, you know, hopefully she can put in a good round of jumping at the weekend, and we can go from there.
Maybe one of the big runners of the day, Kescon Risk in the Novice Hurdle, was obviously far from disgrace last time, and you have Fire Attack in that race as well, the 7.05.
Yeah, Kescon Risk ran a good race at Cheltenham last time. this course and distance will suit him well. We think he'll enjoy the better ground, and we're hoping for a good run from him. The conditions of the race are suitable for him. And Fire Attack has been a bit a hit and miss. He's an awkward rider, but if he does things right, you know, he has an each way chance too.
Yeah, so Saturday will bring down the card at Punchestown after the days. It's normally a family day, but obviously this year will be a bit different. And Joseph, you have four runners, including Smoke and Gun, who will be ridden by Rachel Blackmore.
Yeah, he's been a little bit out of form this year, but the last time was, you know, I thought was something that, you know, a run like he was coming back to form. Certainly was a better run from him. So I think to step up and triple suit, and hopefully he can run well.
What about Global Equity then? She'd have a bit to find on ratings, obviously, in the mare's Grade One.
Yeah, she'd have a bit to find, but she ran well. She ran consistently well all along the way. So, if she lines up there, she is declared earlier in the week. So if she backs up there, then we'd be just hoping to get some place money, you know.
And you also have Druid's Alternate. Sorry, you've also Druid's Altar running on Saturday.
Yeah, he's been running well too. Johnny, suppose he's a bit to find with the principles, but you know he's in good shape, and hopefully he can, you know, run a solid race, and we'd be pleased if we got a share of the prize money.
Just the Kipco 2000 guineas, obviously, Joseph. This is something that you've, I presumably, been excited about now for months. And how is your expectation now going into the race?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're looking forward to the race. You know, Dundonald's preparation has gone pretty well, and we're looking forward to the race. Hopefully, they don't get any rain there. And we think he has a live chance.
How is he wintered?
Yeah, he's wintered well. He's got strong. He's matured well physically, and we're pleased with him. Johnny, obviously, you know, when you get him on the track, you really get an idea of where you are with him. But yeah, very happy with him, Johnny.
You mentioned the ground as well. How much was that a negative on the final start of his campaign, when he obviously travelled well, he just didn't see his race out, maybe?
Yeah, I think good ground is going to be important to him. So we'll be hoping that it could be good or quicker at the weekend.
And you'd say, how much would it mean to you to win this race, obviously, with the background of yourself and your dad having such a history in it, obviously?
Yeah, it's a very special race to win. Obviously, it's a stallion-making race.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about that. And, you know, it's exciting to go there with a legitimate contender. And, we're looking forward to it, and hopefully he can do us proud.
The 1000 guineas is obviously going to be fascinated as well. There's been so much talk about your dad's horse Santa Barbara, but Pretty Gorgeous, your own horse, has kind of been there and done it. She's, you know, had a brilliant 2-year-old campaign. How has she wintered? Pretty well, I'd imagine, physically.
Yeah, she's wintered well. She's always a big, strong mare, the type that, you know, you'd hope would do well from 2 to 3, and she seems to have done that. And we're looking forward to the race. Obviously, we see the draw tomorrow. Looking forward to the race, Johnny. And she's a high class 2-year-old, so hopefully she can carry that form through the season.
Are you confident she can, given that she obviously was built to do that physically?
Yeah, we're hopeful that she can. We're pleased with her preparation. Like I say, on the track is where you find out where you are with them, really, you know.
Have to start with you, Fran Berry. Thunder Moon, I can't see any reason to oppose this horse each way anyway in the guineas. I think, you know, his final start in the Jew horse, I think the ground more or less did him that day. What do you make of the guineas?
Oh, look, it's in a great habit back in its normal slot. Good fast ground. I just been mad about Thunder Moon all winter. Very interesting to see battleground declared. We haven't got the jockey bookings as of yet that I last looked. He drifted massively in the exchanges in the past week, and I didn't think we'd see him here. Wembley and Van Gogh also in it. Van Gogh was actually well back for the Derby, interestingly, the last couple of weeks too. But for me, Thunder Moon, getting back to him, I think he's the horse to beat, Johnny. I do think he's a bit of value in him. I backed him last week at 7-1. I just thought that was the wrong price. And he was awesome in the National Stakes. He beat all of these horses in the National Stakes at the Curragh when he didn't have to run the race. And he didn't have to run the race in the Jew horse on ground. It would not have suited him. He was up the middle of the track. There was a big stand side bias, and he still managed to get third. before, you know, and looking like he might win going to the Furlong pole. I think a mile fast ground on Saturday, yeah, he could be special.
Yeah, big words. And in fairness, Yuki, you know, listen to Joseph, there are no negative in terms of how he's progressed over the winter.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. In a very competitive race, he has a real chance. What have we got? 15 runners. I could make a case for nine or 10 of these horses. I've had a few quid on Poetic Flair at prices. He's still around 16 to 1. That seems fair enough to me. I mean, you just have to respect the JSB with anything he sends to either guineas. I think his last four runners in the 2000 guineas are 6-2-3-1. I'd have to double check that, but I remember looking at this before. He's an outrageous record when he sends her. He's even better in the 1000 guineas. I remember he sent a filly. Oh, I think her name was Gilla Angrania. I can't really remember. But anyway, she was beat about 3 weeks before the 1000 guineas. She was beaten Dundalk. And he pitches her up in the 1000 guineas. I thought, right, he's finally lost it. This is it. He's finally gone mad, beaten ahead. So anything the JSB sends to Newmarket for either guineas has to be respected. The Poetic Flair didn't really handle the track in the Dewhurst. That is a concern, granted, but it was only the second run of his life. Looked much more professional when he followed up in Leopardstown a week later. Looked really good in the guineas trial in Leopardstown. Will relish the extra furlong. I'm not sure about the draw. He's drawn 4 of 15. It's always a bit of a guess up on that track. But at around a 16 to 1 shot, I think he has a real chance.
Yeah, as you say, the man whose name we cannot speak, our mutual friend, was on about this horse during the week as well. And he's by Dawn Approach, obviously, who won the race, John, for Jim Bulger, who, in fairness to him, his record in the guineas and the Dewhurst has been incredible, really, in recent years. Is he on your list? What do you like in it?
I saw the Charlie Hills horse, Mutasabek. I saw that win at Newmarket at the Craven meeting. It was only a condition stakes at one, but he absolutely bolted up. He's out of Gennady, that good filly. And I thought to the eye, he was really impressive. Now, somebody that follows numbers and crunches numbers might tell you it wasn't as good as the eye informed. But I thought visually he was really impressive. The last guineas bet I had, by the way, was Pat Fork, Fran.
10 years ago, as he fell out of the picture, the tree falling pole.
Yeah, bloody hell. I mean, that's a sensational revelation, really, from the Johnny Mac. Let's get on to the 1,000 guineas. Can Lawman provide the winner of this race? I'm not sure how many classic winners Lawman has sired. Fair play if you can get the answer to that. In these shores, I can't think of one. Fran, am I right? Am I wrong? And is Pretty Gorgeous going to win this?
Very worried about the ground for Johnny. That would be my biggest concern. Mm. I do think on two-year-old form, she is a standout. However, her sire's progeny tried usually with a cut in the ground. She got beaten a mile on good ground by Shale, and Shale was a real sharp actioned filly who just seemed to handle the ground at that day. Now, that was 7 furlongs. Maybe the mile is what she needed or needs. But for me, that when Newmarket plays fast and with the undulations and that run down into the dip, if you're not handling it, that's where you can win and lose a race. Now, that would be my biggest concern for Pretty Gorgeous. Santa Barbara, the price is just unbelievable for me. I seen her win at the Curra in September. I was there. Beautiful looking filly who was only going to improve from 2 to 3. Thought I'd seen the Oaks winner on that day, and it's fascinating to see how she goes on Sunday. I'm really interested at a bigger price in what I think is an open race if you take Santa Barbara out of it in Queen's Speech if she's declared for Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, just last year. Who are you interested in at a big price there?
Queen's Speech, Aidan O'Brien's other one. If that's declared, she was very impressive at the card at the back end of the year, winning a maiden by 5 lengths.
Mm. Yeah, the Racing Post tells me that Lawman is a classic sire. Now, I stand to be corrected. Maybe Lawman has sired a classic winner. If he has, I can't off the top of my head think of it, but don't let that put you off. Pretty Gorgeous. Obviously, Ken Condon has a runner as well in the shape of Thunder Beauty. Best of luck to Ken. There, this is going to be an intriguing race. I don't know what to make of Santa Barbara, Juki. Obviously, Camelot winning miler by Manjou. Winning Guineas miler by Manjou. And this all seems to be based on a stable throw by Kevin Blake, really, after which this horse's odds absolutely crashed from something like 10s into 2s. Were you on at somewhere in between?
No, I wasn't. I don't think it's all just based on the Kevin Blake stable tour, because at some stage the layers would stand up to her. Like when this filly was 11-4 on the machine, I was there, right, that's it. Someone's going to come in. And I mean, there were people looking for, say, a monkey at 11-4 and maybe 200 quid at 3.9 or something like that. So you could have stood up and later for reasonable money. And no one seems to want to. This thing is obviously just working the house down at home. I mean, which again is interesting. I know they time everything in Ballydun, but you'd wonder how hard they work them. But at that early in the season. But anyway, something's going on with her, and they think she's a machine. My concern, well, the price. Like, basically, this is going to be me repeating what Fran Berry said, which isn't a bad thing for me, to be fair. But the price is the problem with Santa Barbara, and she does have a high head carriage. Now, she's only run once, so I'm not going to turn around and say, oh, I'm worried about her attitude or anything. But she does have a slightly high head carriage, and she's 6-4. So you rule her out. Pretty gorgeous. A big girl hits the ground hard. You'd have to be worried about her. And again, I don't know. I assume that this Queen's Speech isn't going to be declared, because she is the kind of Santa Barbara horse. She's 25-1 on the back of making an impressive winning debut. But she's more appealing than Santa Barbara on pedigree, because she has an American pedigree and she won at the on heavy ground at the Curragh. So you think she's going to take a fair step forward for better ground in Newmarket. But she's 25-1. So if she's declared, and I wouldn't back her now, I'd be happy to take, say, 14s or 16s if she's declared. But I'd be the same as Fran with Queen's Speech.
Queen's Speech, who had very, very rare for an Irish race racing comment in running, had promising at the end of her comment after she made all at the Curragh in November. I find this race quite tough, Johnny Mac. I don't know what you make of it.
Yeah, I've been a Pretty Gorgeous fan since the day she won at Belliestown. I think the whole country were on her that day. The word was she was a machine, and she won by 5 lengths. And I've been with her right through the season without winning the Filly's Mile. And yeah, I won't oppose her on Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Racing TV podcast on the wire. We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe to be alerted as soon as the next episode is available.